very busy. Many important matters require king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
your fingers or your king doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
I am
stupid girl.
Your fingers or your tongue.
I am the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffrey Podcast. My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim. At Fit and Trim on Twitter. And with me, as always, is
Catfish. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited to be back. You can hit me up at CJGman67. Holy cow, it has been a while since we have gotten together to praise His Grace Joffrey.
That's right. Listeners, we have been away from the Joffrey Podcast, but we've been doing so many things. We put out a special Comic-Con edition of our Ash versus Evil Dead versus Bubba versus Catfish podcast.
Oh, that's very exciting. I can't wait for that to start.
We also, on our Double P Podcast Network's podcast link, we put up a review of the new Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Ooh, so exciting. Guys, we have so much coming out. 1 week from today, when we're recording this, there'll be a new episode of the zombie apocalypse show, The Strain. Sturgoy, everybody.
I can wait for that.
You can wait. It's entitled Got Your Milk Podcast. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, check that out. Coming up in a bit, exactly 60 days from today, they're going to be releasing the new Twin Peaks book, The Secret History of Twin Peaks, and that's when our Twin Peaks podcast will start up to find out about all the things we do here on the Double P Podcast Network.
Wow, that's a lot of things. Now, you know, someone asked us to do Westworld.
I know.
But that's going to be difficult because going to be at the same time as Sturgoy. Sturgoy is going to overlap a little bit with
Ash versus Evil
Dead. Ash versus Evil Dead.
Right. To keep up with all the things we're doing, we'd love you to join us on these adventures into media. Go to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/doublepodcasts, plural. The word double, single letter P, and the word podcast, plural. Facebook.com, Double P Podcast, to find out about all the crazy stuff we put out.
You know, maybe if Westworld survives and it has had a tumultuous birth,
yes.
If it survives and it becomes popular, we might be able to do a podcast on it, second season. Clearly, we are sticking with the Sturgoy more than the people who have actually been watching the show from the beginning. So maybe we can abandon them for Westworld should it prove more popular.
Yes. Always go to Facebook.com and give us your feedback or tweet at us. We want to know what you think about these shows. Honesty is always important. Today, we are going to Joffrey a podcast. We're deep dive into HBO's Game of Thrones and George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire saga based around the character, first of his name, first in your heart, King Joffrey Baratheon.
Well, you know what happened was people kind of forgot a little bit about Joffrey. Even though we got to see him die twice again on the show. And so this in the off season gives us a chance to refocus on the most important character in the history of Western and Eastern and non-Western and non-Eastern civilization.
Right. This is a literary figure who has leapt beyond the page, left beyond the screen. He's like Zika. He's infecting us with his love.
He is infecting us with his love. And, you know, I just want to say he is gone.
What?
Supposedly. We know that's not
wink,
true.
Wink, wink. Okay.
Quote, unquote, gone, but not forgotten.
Never.
Even this week, he was mentioned when there was a kind of a big shakeup in the Trump campaign.
You mean King Joffrey is somehow influencing American politics, Catfish?
Of course, he's influencing everything.
Sorry.
He's influencing everything and everybody.
Heck yeah.
When his campaign advisor, Paul Manafort, left.
Trump's, not King Joffrey's.
King Joffrey doesn't need one.
No.
He is everything.
Heck yeah.
He is all in one. I would call him the Trinity, but he's more than three things. He's like five things. He's like the...
He's a sept of...
Yes, you're right. He's like six things. He's the septography. Donald Trump said he was just going to be Trump. They said, oh, they're going to let Trump be Trump.
Let Trump be Trump.
And apparently there is a conservative publication called The Federalist. And a person who is a part of that organization called Bed Domenech responded to the let Trump be Trump by saying, let Joffrey be Joffrey.
Heck yeah, heck yeah. The Federalist, that sounds like a fine publication that would want to sponsor a podcast that has probably lots of money with a name like The Federalist.
And since Donald Trump was my Joffrey of the Year, a lot of other people are seeing the illusions. Not illusions like Doug Hennings, but the allusions to Joffrey in popular culture.
That's interesting. Yeah, that'd be great. You know, a lot of people have ways that you can support them, like Patreon. And we just need a Trumpion. We give him so much, almost so much hype in the show as we give Joffrey. So right. We've got enough of...
We need him to Venmo us.
Right, exactly.
Send us some funds via Venmo. All right, so what have we got on the docket today? Because we're going to put the focus back on Joffrey,
where it belongs. Amen. So Catfish, mm-hmm. we are going back and we're doing some of our classic old school things. Now, one of the things people have always loved, and we don't want to run through them too quickly, is people love the Joffrey POV chapters.
Oh,
but
they do.
There was a character who interacted with Joffrey a lot who died mm-hmm. this most recent season on the television show. Because we're always giving Joffrey's POV,
right.
everybody knows he's the greatest. But occasionally, it's fun to see Joffrey from other point of views that also see him as the greatest.
Well, also, so, I think you had a real connection with this character.
Right, I do.
Because, number one, he was grumpy.
Right.
And number two, he liked the young ladies.
Right. And we are not talking about Sam. We're talking about Maester Pycelle.
So
we're going to read from the second book, A Clash of Kings. We're going to read a Maester Pycelle POV, one of my favorites in the whole book. This Pycelle POV is one of my favorites. Then we're going to look. I know a lot of people thought season 6, because it's so far away from Joffrey, and when he had this actor playing Joffrey in Bravos, a lot of people thought the worst season ever. And so, Catfish, you have always said we need to Joffrey up season 6. So after the Pycelle POV, what are we going to do?
Well, we're going to do – I don't want to spoil it too much.
No.
But what happened was,
yeah.
as we all know, Joffrey is still alive. He faked his own death.
Okay. Now I got to put a spoiler alert at
okay.
the podcast.
Okay. Spoiler alert. But what happened was one of the – they actually had planned to have him come back this season rather than next season.
Right.
And so they wrote a scene for that, and someone slipped that scene to me.
Yeah. I heard it's going to be on the Blu-ray, but now we're going to have it to you first. This
yeah, we are. We're going to have a Joffrey. It's very exciting because we like it when there's sparring between – the very intelligent characters. And so, another spoiler alert, this is a Joffrey Lady Olenna scene that was written for the show.
Catfish, no spoilers. You're going to have to listen to the whole podcast. That's the second thing we're going to break out and do. Then we're going to go back to another thing. We're going to do what I like to call a double S.
Double S?
Yes, that's where we do a spinoff special.
Oh, my God. It's been like 12 years since we did one of those.
It's been a while, but we're going to do one. It's a new show. It's kind of combining talk radio with some other things. It's Therapy with Dr. Yara Greyjoy.
Oh, she is always helpful and gives a great listen to. She bends her ear to you.
She does. And you bend your thing for her. So it's great. So then we're going to wrap it up with a section we did on the feedback show a bit. What I like to call a double B.
Double B.
Book bitchin' segment.
Oh, man.
Where it's going to flip everything. During the television season, we looked at how the books could give hints to where the TV show was going or how the TV show dealt with the books.
Right.
So for the off season, we're going to flip it around. We're going to look at a character and we're going to see, well, how has the TV show given us hints of where this character may end up?
Ooh.
So really what I like to call a double P podcast.
Double P?
A packed podcast.
Oh, so a packed podcast.
That's what we give out here.
Okay, great. I love it.
So without further ado, or should we add extra ado? Is there more ado we should do?
No, all the ado we need to do, it has to do with Joffrey, so let's do it.
So now we're going to take you back to the second novel mm-hmm. in George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire saga, entitled The Clash of Kings. This was a section that they touched upon in the second season of the TV show. We're going to take you back, and Catfish, if you could help me, because doing all the voices is tough. Like Roy Dotrice, it's kind of tough. So let's jump in, and we're going to bring you to this Maester Pycelle chapter from A Clash of Kings. You ready?
Okay, great. I'll do just a very few voices, though. I want you to do the majority of the voices.
All right, you ready?
Okay, because you love Maester Pycelle so much. I'm just going to give just a touch here and there. You're going to read a whole bunch.
All right, so.
I'm telling Mother.
The prospect of war coming to the capital made brave men cower with fear. Strong men grow weak in the knees. It was taught in the Citadel that the true nature of a man's worth could not be understood until he faced the unforgiving reality of his own imminent demise. As the first bell rang out in King's Landing, proclaiming the sighting of the false king Stannis Baratheon's fleet broaching the tides of Blackwater Bay, every man was finally being true to their own nature, which is why, at that moment, Grand Maester Pycelle was 3 chain links deep into Roz the Whore, filling her must-needs as only he could. If not for Grand Maester Pycelle's important role in the upcoming battle, the learned maester would have kept his fat pink mast rockin' in the cheeky Roz until the hour of the nightingale. Alas, he must uphold his duties and rolled his old frame off of the bed.
"Done quick tonight, are we?"
asked Roz the Whore. Or at least that's what she might have said. The damn bell had not stopped ringing.
"Quick, my word. You're joking. Certainly a good 4 hours must have passed."
4 hours? More like 4 seconds. I haven't even finished taking off my knickers yet, have I?
Maester Pycelle could not believe her insolence. Holding his vow of celibacy had he been easy in Old Town, young Pycelle found the fairer ladies would not spend a moment of their time with a young balding novice. But once he had risen to Grand Maester and controlled the Citadel's purse strings, women began to find Pycelle irresistible after he paid them bag full of coins. He pulled 2 golden dragons from a pocket hidden inside his cloak and tossed them down onto the bed.
"I believe you've earned those coins, Roz the Whore."
Roz the Whore tossed the gold coins back toward him and said,
"You can keep it."
"You love the passion of my manhood so much that you do not wish to be paid."
"No, that ain't it. I just didn't do anything to earn those coins."
No. "You are wonderful, my lady. I'll get some moon tea to prevent any unwanted complications."
"They won't need that. You never got all your fellas deep on top of me. In fact, you never got inside. You were just rubbing between me legs. I thought you died until you started snoring."
"I enjoyed it as well."
Roz walked through his chambers looking at the many vials and jars of potions. Small talk with the small folk was a strength that Pycelle had developed over the years. He slid his body up against the whore, causing her agreeable curves to wrap around his perfectly sized muscles.
"My lady, few have the keen mind and intellect to gain knowledge of all the world's elements. That's why I'm the Grand Maester. You see, my collar of chains consists of several links of different types of metal. This black iron chain shows that I have maestered ravenry. The silver here shows I'm a master of medicine and healing. But the red gold chain—"
"It proves that you're a master in lovemaking. You made the same joke last time."
"But, Roz the Whore, I don't want you to—"
"And pull your chain. Yes, you joked it again as I walked in tonight."
Pycelle began to lift his chain over his head.
"Enough foreplay. Should we start our sexting, young maiden?"
"Start? Oh, man, we already done it. You already way off, just right on the bedsheets. You was never in, sir."
"I enjoyed it as well. Now, how much should I pay you?"
"Now, Grand Maester, you won't ever have to pay me again if you set me up with that sexy slice of muscular mutton known as His Grace King Joffrey. Oh, he's a love, he is."
1,000 pardons, Roz the Whore, but His Grace King Joffrey would not dare to think to enjoy the services of a filthy whore. But there may be someone who would."
"Maester Pycelle, why are you interrupting me in me bedchamber when I'm petting Sir Pounce all by myself?"
"Prince Tommen, I have good news, good news. I've heard from Roz the Whore she finds you quite agreeable."
Tommen tossed Sir Pounce to the floor.
"There's no way a pretty bird like her would like a sniveling little runt like me. She's hot for me perfect king brother Joffrey."
"Yes, yes, as all women are, but she said she's willing to settle to be close to you."
An angry fire enlightened in the baby prince's eyes.
"Settle? She used the word settle?"
Well, I'm sure she didn't mean it as an insult."
"Why, I could just cut a bitch."
"Prince Tommen."
"Ask me perfect brother King Joffrey if Mies can borrow his crossbow. It's whore-killing time."
The little devilish prince's room was rocked by an explosion of wildfire out in the Blackwater Rush. The Grand Maester shuffled out to find the smart and wise King Joffrey. He passed the doorway leading to the evil traitor spawn's Sansa Stark's room.
Treason is treason,
Pycelle thought to himself. He poked his head inside the door and heard the drunken tones of a young double S.
Double S?
Surly Stark speak.
I'll be safe here. Stannis won't hurt me.
The Hound roared back at her.
Look at me. Stannis is a killer. The Lannisters are killers. Your father was a killer. Your brother is a killer.
Grand Maester Pycelle.
Okay, there's only one person who's not a killer, little bird.
Sansa pointed to the white beard in the doorway. Pycelle crept into the room.
Forgive my intrusion. I'm looking for His Grace. I heard he left the battlefield.
Sansa pushed the Hound away.
You're telling me that Joffrey survived? OMSG! Oh, my seven gods! I'm staying here, Hound. I'd never leave sexy Joffrey.
The Hound barked out.
Pycelle! Let the king know that I believe my last words on the battlefield have been misconstrued. When I said fuck the king, I was trying to say fuck, period, the king. As in, fuck, it's a sign of King Joffrey's brilliance that he was there at Mudgate with fighting troops. Please let King Joffrey know that I still love and worship him, even though I'm running away because I'm a little baby afraid of fire.
Treason is treason.
What was that, me? What, you sniveling old man?
I enjoyed it as well. Good day.
What? Did you talk? What?
Pycelle found his way to a secret war chamber in which King Joffrey made specially for this Battle of the Blackwater. The god equal King Joffrey was reading scrolls with his cousin Lancel. All right, cousin Lancel, what's the message? Lancel pulled the raven from its cage and slipped the paper off the bird's leg. Lancel began to read aloud.
It's from your grandfather, Lord Tywin. He says that you came up with a brilliant strategy, Your Grace. The Tyrells shall join our army just as you planned, and the combined forces are riding for King's Landing. They'll be here any moment. Your Grace, you've done it! You've done it! Yay! Yay! Yay, you won the war!
'Twas a simple plan, Cousin Lancel.
No, only to a genius of strategic command and handsomeness such as you, Your Grace. But I fear how Tyrion shall screw it up. He intends to bring troops outside the city wall to fight Stannis. I know you could not tell him you're brilliant, aligning with the Tyrells. The imp, that ugly, evil imp would leak that information to traitor Uncle Stannis.
Pycelle was disgusted. Just as the brilliant young king was setting the final stages for a most wonderful victory, the queen's devious brother could be ruining the plan.
Tyrion has reached a new low,
yelled the Grand Maester, slamming his hand down upon the table. The young monarch raised both hands to calm the frustrated scholar. Now, Grand Maester Pycelle, my uncle has made a simple error in judgment.
We must, Your Grace, we must come up with a phrasing of words to describe Tyrion so that the good people of King's Landing know what mischief he makes.
If you must know, Grand Maester, I tend to call him even...
No, Your Grace, do not strain your impeccable mind to come up with a nickname during this time of battle. I shall create a nickname for Tyrion this instance.
Lancel interrupted.
But everyone calls him evil.
I got it. How about we call him Bad Dude Who's Related to You Via Your Mother, Tyrion?
Thank you, Maester, but that phrasing is too long. And at times he is worse than bad. In fact, he's quite evil.
This is trickier than I thought, Your Grace. Here we go. Perhaps we should call him Not Pleasant Second Son of Your Grandfather on Your Mother's Side, Tyrion.
You've made it even longer, Grand Maester.
Okay, all right, shorter. I've got it. Here we go. We'll call him No Good Mother's Brother Tyrion.
Pycelle, you don't have to come up with a new nickname when I refer to him by just three simple words called
Unagreeable Relative Tyrion.
No, that is not right.
Wrong-headed Hater Tyrion.
Grand Maester, please. I refer to him as Evil Uncle Tyrion. Pycelle's eyes widened at hearing the brilliant, perfect name for such a vile imp traitor.
Your Grace, that is perfect. How could you come up with such a succinct description of that double P?
Double P?
Puny person.
Oh, it's funny.
Listen, all right, Grand Maester. Now to solve the disaster of Evil Uncle Tyrion's ignorant mistake.
When it comes to commanding, evil Uncle Tyrion, he just doesn't...
He's not smart.
Maester, please. We have an innocent expression which describes my uncle. We just say evil Uncle Tyrion just doesn't...
Don't tell me. I'm keen to guess. I know. Evil Uncle Tyrion. He just doesn't do good stuff.
No, but Maester Pycelle, we say evil Uncle Tyrion just doesn't...
Have a man-sized penis.
Oh, no.
Enough, Pycelle. It's evil Uncle Tyrion just doesn't measure up.
I don't get it.
Lancel, would you please leave us? I need to speak to the Grand Maester alone.
That's okay. I have to cough anyway.
As the doors closed behind the squire, King Joffrey brought Pycelle in close. Grand Maester, there are just too many usurpers in my Seven Kingdoms. Traitor Uncle Stannis, Robb Surly Stark, Balin Greyjoy.
Who?
Pycelle, listen. I just find it difficult to smite them all and still take care of the common man.
You shall smite them, Your Grace.
Yeah, I know I could, Pycelle, but I'm thinking if I could go undercover, perhaps somehow disappear off the game board entirely, say for 3 or 4 seasons, I could be taking down usurpers from behind their traitorous lines. And then reveal to the people that I was still alive just in time to defeat the White Walkers. Maester Pycelle, is there any poison which could make it appear that it's as if I died of poison, but it wouldn't actually kill me, just make me sleep for a couple of days, and then you could sneak me out of the city, and I could come back and get revenge on those evildoers.
Well, Your Grace, what a top-secret plan. Well, as the Grand Maester, of course, I know that several natural, non-harmful things... kings like to do could do the trick, Your Grace. There are some poisons. Where first comes to mind, wolfsbane. Wolfsbane, it's a poison. Ooh, or maybe blind's eye, it's also a poison. Basilisk venom is another demon's dance. You know what that is? It's a poison. There's gray cap, heartsbane. Oh, widow's blood, guess what it is?
Well, I think...
It's a poison, Your Grace. It's named for its color, widow's blood. It shuts down the bladder and bowels until the person dies from their body's own poisons. Speaking of poisons, there's manicore venom. Nightshade, which is derived from a plant...
Well, those sound like a...
Right, there's powdered gray cap, which is made from a variety of toadstool. Manticore venom, of course, is a particularly vicious and can be treated until it works more slowly, causing its victims to die in slow agony.
Pycelle, I'm not sure you understand.
Wait, there's also sweet sleep. It brings death in sleep in small doses, but of course if you go too large a dose, it could kill. Large enough doses of sweet sleep could be fatal. The difference with a sweet sleep and the fatal dose is quite small relative to other medicines, and a maester must therefore be very careful when administering. There's the tears of lees. That's an odorless and colorless poison. It kills by attacking the stomach and bowels. The strangler, which is made from a plant only found in the Jade Sea. It kills by closing the windpipe and therefore suffocating its victims. It's a poison that's been used to kill past kings and a reason many kings employ food tasters.
Now skip ahead, please.
And that's the end of the chapter.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, while you were reading...
It seems weird that the next 10 pages are just listings of poisons, and it doesn't really say, you know, it just ends after a listing of a poison.
I felt like near the end there... I had myself taken manicore venom.
Catfish. This is George R. Martin.
I felt like I was dying in slow agony.
Catfish. Does reading this chapter make you miss Grand Maester Pycelle even more than before?
I really felt like when he died that, God, I wish I had more Maester Pycelle. And now after this chapter, I feel like I've had all I need again of Maester Pycelle.
Well, maybe we won't read one from him again. Catfish, so cold. So cold.
You know, that happens.
It's not Joffrey, so that makes sense. It's not Joffrey.
He was a small player in this grand plan, and his time has passed.
That's true.
Yeah.
And unlike King Joffrey, he's not going to turn out to be alive and pop up in the later book.
No.
I am the king.
So, speaking of King Joffrey, a lot of people, right. Catfish, I mentioned this at the top of the podcast, a lot of people, they are upset that Joffrey wasn't in season six. They just think to themselves, you know, why watch?
Well, look, Bubba, as you know, I mean, Joffrey is coming back.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. The question is when to do it so that it has the greatest effect.
Right.
I mean, this is going to be a bigger surprise than when Jon Snowgarian, quote unquote, came back to life. It was big to do about it, you know. Yippee. For so long, they convinced people that Joffrey's dead.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, they set up his return. They did it slyly.
Oh, yeah.
They showed us his horrific death portrayed by bad actors, intensely bad actors,
right.
Twice.
Right.
Right. So they're laying a groundwork for his return. But to see it, you almost have to be a Joffrey whisperer, but luckily we are.
Yeah, I don't want to brag. I mean, I'm just barely good enough to whisper King Joffrey's name.
That is true for all of us, but it is truer for you.
What?
Well, it turns out that they had planned to bring him back this season, and they wrote a scene with him in it.
Well, man, you know what? If only we had that scene.
Well, you know what?
What?
Well, it turns out we do have that scene.
Oh, amazing!
Yes, it is. Now, since we are world-renowned as Joffrey acolytes, someone from inside the writer's room sent the scene to me.
Cogman, how could you? Now, Fish, why'd they send it to you? Why'd he send it to you? Since you can barely remember what happened on the show.
Well, now, they said, and I quote,
yeah.
Catfish, you, above almost anyone else, exhibit the qualities of steadfastness and generosity of our Grace Joffrey.
I'm going to need to see this. I'm going to need to see this letter, you know, this email.
I don't know. What happened was, it was a letter, but it self-immolated Mission Impossible style after I read it. Okay. No, the same thing happened in the scene, but luckily I was able to take photos of it with my phone, so we do have it for you today.
Thank the seven, please, because if we didn't have it after that long of a setup, you know how pissed off I'd be. Right. I mean, dear God.
See, this is why you did not get the scene.
Well, skip ahead.
Okay, all right. First, we have a little setup.
Okay.
There's three important things you need to remember before you hear this scene. Now, first of all, we all know that Olenna and Baelish were the ones who conspired to supposedly kill King Joffrey.
Yeah, I remember that. Do you remember that?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Okay, all right.
There may have been some YouTube research today where I had an epiphany.
Okay, sure.
Now, we all saw the amazing scene this season between Olenna and Cersei in episode 7, Broken Man, in which Olenna gave Cersei, just ran her up and down for ruining everything. And then the next time we saw Olenna was in the last episode when we saw Olenna dissing the Sand Snakes and plotting with Ilaria to overflow the Lannisters.
Now, you stole that from Wikipedia. How much of that did you remember?
I did remember that she came back.
Okay.
Now, and they didn't tell me which episode this scene was planned for, but I was told, they said it was between these two episodes.
Okay,
so even though they decided they're not going to reveal Joffrey this year, they're going to wait to make a bigger effect, this scene is going to show you how, if they had involved him this year, how they were going to do it. Okay, and it shows how, you know, we could talk a little bit later about how maybe that second scene would have been different. But what you can notice is, because they had planned the scene and they didn't do it, they had some great dialogue that they shifted to those two scenes. So some of this is going to sound familiar, but it's only because those scenes, those lines were so good.
Okay.
All right. Since you need to become more like Joffrey in wisdom and patience, I'm going to have you play Joffrey and I will play Olenna.
Yeah. Okay. It matches our ages. You're a bit older than I am.
Yeah, but I look younger.
Hey. All right. Skip ahead.
Okay, fine. I'm going to also read the stage directions. They add an extra level of meaning to the scene.
Okay.
Now,
okay,
we take you to one of Olenna's favorite places, the Gardens of King's Landing, in the middle of the night. Exterior, King's Landing Gardens, nighttime.
You just said that.
Okay,
sorry.
A lone man is silhouetted. He's a striking, heroic figure. As the camera closes in on his face, we see in his eyes an exceptional intelligence. Yet there's also a weariness to them, as if he has suffered as no man whose name starts with J ever has. This is our Grace Joffrey. The camera pulls back and we see a shriveled figure approach him. As she gets close, almost uncomfortably close, we see it as Lady Olenna.
Lady Olenna, how goes our plans?
Oh, it goes well, my sprightly young buck. Almost even better than I could have imagined. When you brought that despicable whoremaster Baelish to my room in the middle of the night, I expected something delightful, but this has turned out almost as well. I could not have imagined that all would work out exactly as you planned. That your fake death would lead to Sansa's humiliation and then the destruction of either the Boltons or Starks. That your useless and vile siblings would be murdered. And that your feckless mother would be hanging on by a thread. Your masterful plan has worked to perfection.
Well, not quite perfection. I could not have anticipated that Jon Snow would prove so difficult to kill. Or rather, I should say, prove so difficult to remain dead. All that time I spent cultivating Ollie and Alistair Thorne. Well, I guess you should never trust someone whose name sounds like someone whose name should be in a Newsies revival.
I beg your pardon?
Never mind, Lady Olenna. There are still some pieces I need to remove from the board. Finally, the High Sparrow is ready to be removed for some other inconvenient potential rulers.
You are behind the High Sparrow?
If you think he's high now, you should have seen him when I first met him. Laying on the corner, wasted on some combination of milk of the poppy and shade of the evening.
Oh, yes, yes, I believe they call that a free-bottom speedball.
Whatever it's called, it took me weeks to get him off it and convince him to lead the poor. And now that drooling bag of dirt and pigeon droppings is finally on the path I set for him. Now we must remove your grandchildren from the board. Are you sure you're all right with that?
Your Grace, you are the best person I've ever met. It's hard to recall, but the truly amazing do stand out through the years. My grandchildren aren't fit to lead. For the good of this land, you must rule. If you're half as an incredible ruler as I think you are, you'll be surrounded by worshippers, millions of them.
I don't need worshippers, Lady Olenna. I just want peace in the realm, and to end all these machinations across the land. We must be strong if we're to defeat the real enemy.
Who is that, my lord?
The White Walkers.
The who's its, what's its?
No, aren't you paying attention, you daft old broad? I suppose you're no worse than anyone else, scurrying around fighting each other instead of paying attention to the very real threat. Luckily, the White Walkers march very, very slowly. Oh, we'd be dead already. It's taken me years to finally get the Dragon Mistress to become a decent ruler. You know, you wouldn't think it would have taken her this long to finally wake up and realize, hello, I have dragons. But finally, she is bringing them to Westeros. And then she and I will join together for our golden rule. Do you see what I did there?
Well, because of your hair?
Yes, because of the hair. It's so hard to be the most handsome, brave, strong, and intelligent person in this land. But that is why I must lead. It's almost time to come out of the shadows.
Yes, yes, you've won, Joffrey. It's the only joy I can find in this misery. That and how your supple young body parts make my nether parts quiver. Do you know what happens when the magnificent bumps up against the decrepit?
Olenna, your tart tongue will get you in trouble one of these days.
Oh, it may, but it also brought me and others much joy.
Ew.
She moves closer to him, whispering in his ear.
You know, in my later days, I was just called Lady O.
Ugh, double O.
Oh, and that's the end of the scene.
Wow.
Wow, I was right. I mean, who knew that Lady Olenna was so dirty? Am I right?
Man, I eat catfish. That's all you ever think about half the time on the podcast. Think of all the information we just found out in this scene. Joffrey was behind everything. Evil Jon Snow's murder, the Bolton Stark battle, the High Sparrow.
No, you know what? I guess you're right. I mean, I didn't notice that because Olenna is so saucy.
You know what? You got to do something about your pants. You just came in them. I mean, can't you remember anything? Maybe this is why you can't remember anything. You know, okay. You know what? You know, they tried to cut down on sex position, and maybe that's why they decided to hold off on Joffrey for now.
I know. Well, you know, that would have made the scene even more interesting if it had sort of had been Joffrey and Olenna together, kind of a Harold and Maude kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been some interesting sex position. So let me ask you, this brings up a point. We've known for a while that Joffrey's going to come back.
Yep.
Why hold off for so long? Why not bring him back this season and find out that he's the one behind everything?
Well, I hate to go behind the scenes on some of this stuff, Catfish. Uh-huh. You remember after season 4, mm-hmm. they were automatically, Game of Thrones, the HBO show, was automatically renewed for seasons 5 and 6. Two seasons they approved. But they hadn't approved kind of the end game, you know, the 7th season. So I wonder if David Benioff and Dan Weiss, if they thought, well, you know what? we want to confirm we get those final seven seasons in the eighth season, and so we'll hold off Joffrey and force HBO's hand.
Oh, well, absolutely.
You don't have another reason, do you?
That makes complete sense to mm-hmm. me. I just wonder how excited people are going to be. I mean, people got into a tizzy about, you know, Jon Snow, who is, kind of decent looking, but barely. He's no Joffrey.
No.
So when Joffrey comes back, people are just going to be so excited. And you know, there are a lot of people who left this series due to direwolves being killed, Ned Stark, etc. There was the rape of Sansa.
Right. The flood of people who left after Joffrey was died. That could have killed the show.
And what's going to happen is all those people are going to come back because they're going to realize, oh my goodness, this was silly. I should have hung on to see this end game.
Right. It's like big deal. I can watch three dogs get killed, but if I do it, I get to see Joffrey again. It's worth it. They probably are killing dogs right now out in public as a way to get Joffrey back.
Now, I have to say, Jack Gleason.
Yeah.
I mean, no one can be
no one.
As good as the actual character Joffrey themselves.
No.
But for this guy to pretend that he has been retired from acting for 3 years,
incredible.
just to make this comeback. I mean, what Joaquin Phoenix pretended to be a rapper for a year, just for a year. Yeah. I was going to say he pretended to be crazy, but we all know that he's not pretending to be crazy.
He didn't pretend that.
So, but this is thrice dedication. The dedication.
Right. In solidarity, you know, unlike you, I've decided not to take any acting parts like Jack Gleason to kind of support his move.
That is sad tidings for the world because they're missing out on some amazing
eye
work.
Two great actors. But it's for the sake of the show, so you got to do it.
Well, there you go.
I notice is that you haven't quit Pickup Fish. Do you love Joffrey if you're going to keep taking on these acting parts?
There's no way to fill
No.
the gap that Joffrey has in our hearts,
right?
But I'm trying to be on there. So every time I'm on screen, that somehow maybe there's a little bit of Joffrey that you see on screen, because I know some people are having a real hard time, but he's coming back,
right? Kind of like we're all hard when we hear Joffrey, but now that he's coming back, it's a release. We're coming together.
Oh boy! You know,
what?
This is going to be a real stretch to say that this is not an explicit podcast.
Wait.
Yeah. No. This one's clean. No worries. This one is clean.
Many important matters require King's attention.
So, Catfish, now it's time for something I like to call Double S.
Double S?
Spinoff specials. That's where we break away from the Joffrey podcast. People love and know how popular this show is. They just know that this is a popular podcast, and they want us to do other things. You know, we do The Strain. We do Ash vs. Evil Dead. We're going to do Twin Peaks again. We've done Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. We do so many things, and so they ask us to record these spinoff specials so we could do more podcasts. And today's one is by a character who's not as loved as Joffrey. None are. But I think it could be interesting. And so
she looks almost as good as he does in leather pants.
Barely. So what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be doing a new spinoff I like to call Therapy with Dr. Yara Greyjoy.
Thank you for seeing me, Dr. Greyjoy. I wish I could have met you in your office, but I suppose this Philantes brothel is a nice way of forcing myself to get out of the house. I've been very lonely and not sleeping. I've got headaches. I'm just emotionally tired all the time.
Have a drink.
Huh? No, thank you, sure. Work is terrible. I've been moved from my job where I was using my degree to a different part of the company, but then the company's been downsized and I've had to take decreased pay.
Drink.
My mother had coronary artery bypass surgery.
I don't care. Drink.
What?
Drink it all.
I've just been feeling worthless, like I'm a failure. Is everything hopeless?
Drink the goddamn ale.
I would just like, you know, to get dressed in the morning and not think, gee, am I kind of ugly? And then every day, I don't want to be like, I'm kind of fat. I'm ugly and I'm fat and I'm not that bright. And then I feel like, why bother going out into the world? I have nothing to offer.
Drink. Drink.
What?
Drink. Drink the goddamn ale.
All right. Yeah. All right, buddy. Hey. Yeah. Woo. I'm king of the world.
You know, when I started off, I drank the same as everybody around me. I mean, other college freshmen were in college and partying, but, you know, pretty quickly I realized that that the drinking was more important to me than other people.
Have a drink, at least.
No, but I...
Drink.
All right, well, let me...
Drink it all.
You know, all of a sudden, you know, 15 years later, I'm drinking a liter of vodka a day, and then... You know, I lost my first marriage, multiple jobs, support of my family. I'm trying to tell you.
Now listen to me. Drink.
No, I was about to lose the home where I lived.
I know you've had some bad years.
Yeah, no, they were a lot of bad years. I mean, I'm not even sure I realized that alcohol was the problem.
Drink the goddamn ale.
Yeah, but I mean, ale is alcohol, isn't it? I really feel like I...
Drink it all.
No, I can't. I mean, if you've got some water or something...
Drink.
It's the pressure. I can't take...
Drink.
No, wait, whoa. If I could just stop drinking, I feel like I wouldn't have to cut it.
Drink it all.
Okay.
I'm gonna go fuck the tits off this one.
All right, will you do that with the tits? And I'm just... I guess I'll drink this again.
I'm telling mother.
Whoa, Catfish. This is... A lot of people got helped, I think, by her words. You know, I hear Dr. Phil, boring. I hear Dr. Drew on... Love lines.
I don't understand. I mean, you know, it's tough when you're just starting a new show, but I really feel like this one's going to take off.
Oh, I can't wait till we hit that syndication money. It's going to be great.
Well, you know, not only that, but I feel like
It's
not just therapy, but I can see in my mind,
right?
Judge Yara. As well,
right. You know what I mean? She'd have some great sentences for the people.
Yeah, the Brothel's Court.
All right, so now it's time to get to our double B.
Double B?
Book bitching.
Okay.
And like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, this is during the season, the television season. We talk about how the television is adapting the books and how the books are reflected in the TV show. But now, in the off season, we're going to talk about how the show may be kind of different from the books and how the show may kind of be spoiling us for where the books are going to go.
Okay.
And for this inaugural off-season book bitchin', Catfish, what I thought I would do is I'd talk about everybody's favorite character in the whole series.
Joffrey.
Okay, everybody's second favorite character in the whole series.
Pycelle.
Everybody, let's go 10 deep. 10 favorite.
The Hound.
A character you kind of forgot was on the show. We're going to be talking about, that's right.
That's a lot for me.
We're going to be talking about a Dario 2.0.
Oh, Dario 2.0.
Now, Catfish, do you remember where we left Dario in episode 10, the final episode of season 6? What's he doing? What's going on with Dario?
Yeah, basically it's like, I love you and I'm leaving you, so in exchange I'm going to make you the ruler. Good, do it. Do it well.
Right. Nobody really liked Marine or Slaver's Bay. Why don't you stay here, Dario 2.0? So that's what happened in the
show.
That's
tough. It's tough.
But as we know, sometimes characters die in the show but are still alive in the books. This goes back to season 2 where we had Eerie die in the show, but she's alive in the books. One of Danny's handmaiden. We have some Pip and Gran at the wall. But sometimes it goes the other way, and this is one of those specific times when I believe Dario is going to die in the books but may have lived on the show. I'm going to pull a line. So this is slightly spoiler stuff, everybody, but that's the point of book bitching. I'm going to pull this line from A Dance with Dragons, the fifth book in George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire saga. And it's just one line that I'm basing it on, but I kind of see thoughts in this line that could have influenced the show. What's happening is that Daenerys is still in Meereen at this point. She hasn't flown away on Drogon, met up with the Dothraki. But she has a dream where, quote, she dreams Dario dead by the road as crows quarreled over his corpse. Mm. And if you...
That doesn't sound fun.
No, if you've read the books, you know that dreams and prophecies tend to come true in one way or another. And so even though this is just one line from A Dance with Dragons, I think a Dario 1.0, 2.0 book Dario is a dead Dario.
And so how is that going to affect what happens in Marine?
I think he's done with the show. I don't think we'll ever see him again on the show. My own personal thought.
But in the books, they would.
Right. In the books, Dario, where we last left him, was he was kind of a hostage swap between Daenerys' forces in Meereen and the Slaver Bay people who are trying to siege the city and take over. And so she's like, you give us some hostages, we'll give you some hostages to prove that this kind of debate and this kind of, you know, settlement we're trying to have amongst each other will be true. So Dario
is... This sounds like a worse plan than the plan that Tyrion had that you bashed. This right. Sounds like a bad plan.
So Dario, in the show, he's known with the Sellsword Company, the Second Sons, but in the books there are a bunch of Sellsword companies, including the Storm Crows. And now let's read this line from the book again. The crows quarreled over his corpse. So, in some ways, the show kicked Dario to the side of the road and said, hey, everybody's going to Westeros to conquer and have fun. You are getting kicked to the curb. Side of the road, Dario.
Well, the only thing we can assume, though, is if you want to think good thoughts about Dario is he's in charge and there's a lot of ladies around.
Right. Right. I'm not even sure if he speaks the language the ladies speak, but sure, have fun,
Dario.
He
speaks the universal language.
Right, yes, of single, ready to mingle.
That's right, exactly.
And exactly. So how could Dario die by the side of the road and the crows quarrel over his corpse? Well, if Dario dies in the siege/battle of Meereen, which he didn't in the show, the Storm Crows, many of the people may fight over his remains, a.k.a. who gets to gather up the Second Sons and the Sellsword companies that Dario was nominally the leader of. And so that is how I see it going down in the books. It seems different on the show. Either way, Dario wasn't apparently one of Catfish's top 10 favorite characters. And so, Catfish, you won't mind that we say goodbye to Dario 2.0.
No, I won't. And the reason is because we know that Daenerys is going to have to make an alliance with somebody. She is going to have to get married to somebody. And maybe I'm being too positive, upbeat, especially compared to this world.
Right.
But there has been some true love in this world, I guess, just between Ned.
Ned and Kat.
Ned and Catelyn. Can we think of other successful true love that doesn't involve incest? I mean, we can count the incest. That's true love. There has been some true love. So basically,
but does true love have to be equal? If people say Cersei and Jaime's love isn't equal, is that true love? They both love each other, but if one is so much more kind of faithful, obviously, than the other.
I guess the point that I was trying to make was, even though Daenerys could make an alliance,
right?
I feel like she kind of had true love.
So she's had her fill. She's like, that's enough.
No, I think they're trying to find a true love with her and Joffrey, the golden twins.
Boy, they would make beautiful kids.
So Dario can't be along because she can't find true love. That'd be the only reason to leave Dario behind. If she's just going to, you know, have a loveless marriage to unite kingdoms, Dario could be along. But I think they're going to actually try and give her an equal that she will love.
Oh, great. She has to get it all. Kids, get marriage, kids, job.
Dragons.
Right, exactly.
It's not enough that she's got the dragons.
First, we have a female president. Now this. All right, so listeners, if there's a character you want us to do a book bitching segment on, comparing them from the shows to the books, where their character might be headed in upcoming books, please write to us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/doublepodcasts, facebook.com/doublepodcasts, or you can tweet at us. You can tweet at me, Bubba. I'm at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And I'm Catfish. You can hit me up at CJGman67.
Please get ready for all the wonderful podcasts we have coming down the pike. If you're a fan of The Strain, or if you're interested in this show, The Strain, we keep talking about, check out our Got Your Milk
right.
podcast.
There are some people who enjoy listening to the podcast who don't even watch the show, so always consider that's a possibility for you.
If only it could be a possibility for us. Also, if you're a fan of Ash versus Evil Dead,
and you should
and the
be.
Evil Dead movies, please listen to Ash versus Evil Dead versus Bubba versus Catfish.
That's right. We already covered, because we luckily got to see the first episode, which was full of mayhem.
Heck yeah. So go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to Podomatic, check those out. And once again, keep on top of all the stuff when we're flapping our yappers and recording podcasts on our Facebook page. Until next time, you'll hear us on
The Joffrey of Podcasts. Dirty Edition.